Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue with the portion of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And we are preaching a series of messages called the Christian Salt and Light Company. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. And he reminds us of that in verses 13 and 14. So we think of it sort of as a corporation, as a company. And then tonight, we want to look at a message entitled Personnel Problem. You know, every company has some problems they have to work out, don't they? They have personnel problems. Well, God's people run into some of the same kind of things. But look at Matthew 5 and verse 9. Blessed, you remember what that means, happy, satisfied. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen? Blessed or happy are the peacemakers. For they shall be called, the children of God. One verse loaded with a lot of information for us tonight, challenges. Now you notice he did not say, blessed are the peace lovers. Everybody loves peace, but that doesn't mean everybody wants to make peace. He didn't say, blessed are the peace lovers. And he didn't say, blessed are the peace eulogizers. Those who say, we want peace. You know, the United Nations wants peace, and everybody claims they want peace. Russia wants peace, and North Korea says they want peace. And you have eulogizers of peace saying they want peace. You have a lot of people who are saying that. But he says, blessed are the peace makers. Not the peace eulogizers, not the peace lovers, but the peace makers. And he's talking about something that is active, not passive. He's talking about people who work hard at making peace. People that work at making peace with themselves and having others to come to a place of peace in their own heart. And it's something that is an active thing. Now, you can find a lot of passive peace. If you'll go with me to the cemetery, I'll show you a lot of people who are getting along real well. I've never seen them fighting at the cemetery. They're at peace. At least their bodies are out there in the cemetery. But that's rather passive, isn't it? Two guys, old gunslingers, duel it out, and they shoot each other and die, and then they have peace, right? That's a passive peace. But we're talking about an active peace that God is talking about, and simply what he's saying is we need to be involved in making peace. We need to be peacemakers. Isn't that what the scripture says? Blessed are the peacemakers. And so we need to be not passively involved, but actively involved in making peace. One of the ways we can do that is to help men make peace with God. The greatest need of a man or a woman is to make peace with God. We know that, don't we? And we have a challenge before us. We have the gospel. Now, how are people going to come to being at peace with God? There's only one way. And that's through the gospel. And through the gospel, they can have peace with God. We have the good news. We can tell them, look, peace has already actually been made for you. All you've got to do is, by faith, accept it and enter into it, because God, through Jesus, and Brother Gordon, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, like you were singing about, it is through the blood of Christ that we have peace with Almighty God. And we have that good news. We have that story. We know it's a fact. It's the blood of the Son. And the peace treaty has already been signed if we can just get in on it. But you and I have a responsibility to carry the gospel to people who need to hear it. There are people who need to make peace with God, but there are not a lot of God's people telling them how to make peace with God. And we need to realize and to recognize that we have that responsibility as soul winners. That's what I'm talking about. Witnesses witnesses. Leave the results in the hand of God, but we have a responsibility to go and tell others that Jesus has made peace for them on the cross if they will just come and accept that peace by having faith. And that's the only thing that is going to get them to heaven. Now, a lot of times people don't realize that. We're trying to get the news out to them. The sad thing is we don't get the news to them, but there are some people who really probably don't want the news, or there are some who really haven't heard the news. I read at the end of World War II, there were still some, after there had been the truce and the United States signed a peace treaty with Japan, then in the South Pacific Islands, the Japanese soldiers, a lot of them did not surrender, didn't know that the war was over. And they just remained there on those islands. And it hadn't been so many years back, they found one of the last ones that we heard about who really didn't even understand or know that the battle was already over, that a peace treaty had been signed between the United States and Japan. And they kept fighting the war years after the war was already won. Isn't that the way lost people are? The battle's already won for them. They just need to get the good news, and maybe they would believe it if we'd get it to them. But sometimes we are remiss, and I'm not trying to be mean or cruel to you, and I'm not trying to chew you out. I'm just saying that all of us could do a better job, and we need to understand our responsibility and not be remiss in getting the good news to people. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who win people to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can make peace in their heart with Almighty God and be at peace with God. And there is no peace like that peace. So they can have peace within. There are a lot of people that are perpetually living a life of a civil war. They've never gotten that peace from God. Maybe it's because we hadn't told them. Blessed are the soul winners. Blessed are those who witness. Blessed are those who give out tracts. Blessed are those who take the time to realize that telling others about Jesus is an important thing, no matter who you are or what your temperament is. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need to tell others about Jesus Christ so they can surrender to the Prince of Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then I think there's another area that he's talking about, and that is making peace between man and man, or woman and woman, or mankind and mankind. Making peace so that man can make peace with God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then blessed are the peacemakers who help people come to terms with the fact that they need to make peace with each other. You know, strife, listen to me now, because I'm going to read it right out of the Bible. And whether it's in the home or in the church or wherever it is, strife and division are works of the flesh. How many would agree with that? Strife and division are works of the flesh. Now let me show you what the Bible says about it in Galatians 5, 19 through 20. If you can turn there quickly, go ahead, but I'm going to read it. Galatians 5, 19 and 20 says, "Now the works of the flesh..." Does anybody not understand what that means? The works that are fleshly, that are of the devil, that smack with the same kind of lifestyle of the unregenerate. All right? "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery," we all know that, "fornication," premarital, extramarital, "uncleanness," lasciviousness, "idolatry," witchcraft. Now watch what he's saying. Strife and division are works of the flesh. "Hatred," "variance," "emulations," "wrath," "strife," "seditions," and "heresies." Right in the middle of all of that stuff, adultery. That's bad. How many agree that adultery is bad? Amen. Fornication. How many would agree that that's bad? It's real bad. We say it's bad. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. How many would agree that witchcraft is bad? Anybody in here want to start a Wiccan movement and begin to worship the devil and get involved in all of that? I wouldn't think so. Astrology, witchcraft. We would say, no, that's bad. Well, look what's next. Hatred, variance, not getting along with people, emulations, wrath, strife means just people not getting along, people being mad at each other, people striving, people choosing sides, people fussing with one another, people being mad at each other, people being critical of other people. That's in the same category as all the rest of the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. So if we have those things in our life, we're in a bad group, folks. We are, and God takes it seriously. Do you know one thing God hates? Is somebody who sows discord among the brethren. Now, I'm aware of the fact that when a preacher says things like this, that a lot of folks, or some folks, will think, well, now, who made him mad? Who riled him? What has he heard? What's going on in the church? I wonder who's mad at whom. Well, this could be preached in any Baptist church most any time, anywhere, and probably hit the nail on the head. But it was the next thing in line. It was the very next thing. And this is a series. And as I said last week, or week before, last week I think it was, I don't know who's going to be here. I pretty well probably would know who's the Wednesday night crowd, but I don't sit around and contemplate and think about it and say, well, I'm going to tell them off tonight. I'm telling you, this is the next thing in the Word of God. You're looking at me strange now. I'm just telling you, there it is. But I'm also saying, if Cinderella's shoe fits, wear it, amen, for any of us. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord, H-A-T-E, hate. Did you know God hates some things? You say, I thought he was a God of love. He didn't hate anything. No, God is a God of holiness and love, and he hates some things. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. An abomination. Does anybody not know what that means? It means God can't stand it. It's an abomination to him. It's the ugly of the ugliest to him. And so, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. There is no place in God's church or in God's economy for an arrogant person who thinks they're better than somebody else. Friend, let's just broad brush it and tell everybody in here, none of us are worthy of what we've received through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We would be on our way to hell tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. You're no better than the person sitting on the other side of the church, and you're no better than anybody else in this church who has money, who doesn't have money, who's in between, who's whatever they may be, poverty stricken or anything else, educated or not educated. That's not the issue. We are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, a proud look and a lying tongue. You say, well, I wouldn't have a proud look. I'm not going to go around lying. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's pretty potent. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's like those smut publishers and people like that. All of those different ones that put out filth like Penthouse and Playboy and all of the things on the internet. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Many other things there. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. These are all bad, aren't they? A false witness that speaketh lies. Have you ever been lied on? Not very pleasant, is it? I sort of agree with what Jerry Falwell used to say. You better thank God they didn't know the truth to tell on you. But at any rate, it's never pleasant. It's never, don't look proud now. It's never pleasant to have somebody lie on you. And then look at what he says. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Seven are an abomination to him. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Now folks, God is not pleased if we do that. We must be very careful to guard our attitudes and guard our tongues about what we say about the brethren. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. All of these are in the same category. Are we peacemaking or church playing? Are we peacemaking or just sort of going through the routine and the tradition of church? There's something that God says is more important than tradition and ceremony. And that is coming to the altar with a clean heart and a clear heart. Matthew 5:23, look at it. Verses 23 in our chapter here. Verse 24, look at what he says. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, if you're bringing a sacrifice or a gift to the altar, an offering or whatever it may be, you're coming to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. You know there's somebody that has something against you. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know what God's saying? Get your heart right before you come to the altar. No matter what you're coming for, get your heart right. Whatever it is, if there's aught against a brother and you know they have aught against you, then go to that brother before you try to offer God anything else. And there's some things more important than that. And what he's simply saying is settle the matter. Basically, you could put it this way. Settle the matter or don't come to church. Get it right with God, or you're just spinning your wheels by coming to church and going through the traditional forms of what we call worship. And God says, settle the matter. We say, well, they ought to quit fighting, or let's quit fighting. And just saying that does not bring peace. You know that? Just saying, let's quit fighting, does not bring peace. If two boys, or both of them want to ride the bicycle, and these two young fellows come up to it, and they get in an argument and a fight over it, who's going to be the peacemaker? You say, well, there has to be a third party. No, the third party cannot make the peace. You know who the peacemaker is going to be? It's going to be the one who says to one of them, you get the bike. You go ahead and take the bike. That's all right with me. That is a peacemaker. And the third party can scream and holler all they want to. They can even force it. But that doesn't bring peace. Like the little boy that was told to sit down, you know, and he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still hollering on the inside. I'm still mad on the inside. And that a third party cannot force peace. It has to be somebody in that process who understands what peace really is. And blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed is the little boy who says to the other boy, you go ahead and ride. I'll wait and I'll ride after a while. That's a peacemaker. And so we carry that into the work of the church, into the work of getting along. Only one can bring peace, and that's the ones that are having the dispute, and they're the only ones that can bring peace. We can do all we can, but they're not going to have peace until they get it right in their heart. Now, what else does he say in this verse? Blessed are the peacemakers, those who help people come to Christ and make peace in their heart with God, and blessed are those who help others make peace, and especially in their own heart, for they shall be called the children of God. They shall be called the children of God. That means one relationship. We are children of God. But it not only does it mean relationship, secondly, it means character. They shall be called the children of God. People will look at them and say, that's a child of God. Or they will look and say, that's a Christian. And they'll be recognized as a child of God. Peacemakers are recognized as children that belong to Almighty God. You know why? Because God is a God of peace. Amen? He's a God of peace. And so if our Father is a God of peace, then we who are peacemakers, we are like Him. And they'll look and say, there goes a peacemaker. He's like his father. He is, or she is, a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. They'll be recognized as the children of God because they are peacemakers. They are making peace. How are we doing that? Bringing people to Christ. When's the last time that you or I led somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Blessed are the peacemakers. When is the last time that you were responsible for getting somebody in church and walking down the aisle with them and seeing them get saved? Blessed are the peacemakers. That just reflects that we're children of God. We know how we got saved. We know we are saved by grace. We know we have the good news. We know the debt has been paid. We know we can have peace with God. We have it. We've been born again. But we need to get it to other people everywhere, all the time, as often as possible, any way that we can as a church, through ministry and hooks in the water, to get people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Blessed, happy are the peacemakers. That may be why some Christians are not very happy. Because the soul winner is going to rejoice. The soul winner, those who win people to Christ, are going to be happy Christians. That's just part of it. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring people. Don't you think that we reflect that we're God's children when we bring children to God the Father so that they can know Him and be at peace with God the Father? Doesn't that make sense? Blessed are the peacemakers. And then in a remote way, bringing two people together. The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi should be our prayer tonight. And I want to read this to you, quote it to you. And he said this, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy." Isn't that a good prayer? I know you didn't memorize it just then, but if you can get the CD, you can get it, or I can give you a copy of that. It's not a bad prayer to pray. But he started out by saying, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love." And that's what we need to do. We need to be peacemakers. Would you agree with that tonight? Live out this prayer, and they'll call us sons of God, children of God. They'll say, "There goes a man of God. There goes a woman of God. There goes a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers." Let's stand, please. Father, we know the Beatitudes are for us today in this world right now. And Lord, forgive us for not being better peacemakers. Forgive me for not being a better peacemaker. I pray you would help us tonight to take this message to heart, to take the Word of God, the blessed, holy, inspired Word of God to our hearts, and to understand that we're supposed to be peacemakers, not troublemakers, not just eulogizers of peace, and not those who just want peace, but peacemakers. And God, may you speak to our hearts about being better witnesses in this world. May you speak to our church about stepping out by faith in ministries in the future that might have a greater impact on bringing people to a place of being at peace with God, with Thee. And Father, help us to be faithful witnesses, not only in the way we live, but verbally confronting people with the good news of the gospel and telling them the price has been paid and they can have peace with You. God, help us to not be remiss in our responsibility that You've given us. Then help us to make peace with those that we need to make peace with. Help us not to bring a sacrifice, our tithes and offerings, to church and offer them without first taking care of something that is more important. Father, help us to be careful that we do not sow discord among the brethren, which is a very serious sin to You. Help us, O God, to realize that strife and emulation and anger all smack of unsaved people. And certainly of the fact that the flesh and the devil are in control instead of the Holy Spirit. May You help us to remember this and help us to practice it. Help us to live out the prayer, Lord, that we read. Guide us and direct us now and speak to our hearts, God. We need Your help. In Christ's name, amen.